Lesson tonight is out of Romans chapter 15, verses 14 to 22, the basis for Paul's boldness and his exemplary ministry. We're in a section now, God's righteousness exemplified in Paul's personal messages. God's righteousness as seen in Paul's ministry is worth noting, for since he is the greatest missionary in church history, his ministry offers an excellent example of the kind of spiritual ministry that God wants us to have. So God's righteousness was exemplified in Paul's great boldness in his ministry, and his explanation of that boldness in Romans 15, 14 to 22 is worth noting for our insight and for our application. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Romans 15, 14 to 22. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written this the more boldly unto you in some order, in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. I have therefore whereof my make glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Okay. Paul knew that he was under God's authority to minister authoritatively to Gentiles. He stated as much in Romans chapter 15, verses 15b to 16. Paul realized that God in grace had called and spiritually gifted him and his apostle to be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel, that the Gentiles might believe and be made a spiritual offering to the Lord, acceptable and sanctified by the Holy Spirit's sanctifying ministry. I think this is about the only place in Scripture where the apostle's ministry is actually likened to that of a priesthood. But we are believer priests. A priest goes to God about men, and he goes to men about God. That's what a priest does. And that's what Paul was talking about in this section. Paul also knew from experience that God had mightily worked in him to evangelize Gentiles. In verse 17, he explained to his Christian Roman readers that he could glory through Jesus Christ in those things that pertain to God and his ministry. Specifically, he could speak of those things that Christ had worked in him to make the Gentiles obedient to the faith, whether it be by word or by deed. I'm thinking of one of the actions of the Apostle Paul. Paul was a tent maker by trade, and he had a work apron. And because of the work apron that he had, he would perspire. And after a while, the perspiration would eat away at the apron. So they would take the apron, and he threw it away. And he threw it in the city dump. And what happened, there were people who were demon-possessed and lepers and so forth. They were rounding through the city dump looking for food. And when they came in touch with Paul's discarded work apron, his dirty, sweaty work apron, the demons were exorcised and people were healed. And word got out as to, well, whose apron is this? And they found it was Paul. And so Paul was doing mighty works. And people came to know Christ as this. I believe that was at Ephesus where that occurred. So, I mean, there were just amazing miracles that Paul was doing. So that, in fact, if people eventually were touching Paul's body with claws and taking them to the sick and touching the sick, and the sick were getting well. So that gave credibility to his gospel, so that the gospel spread there. So Paul explained that he reported that the Holy Spirit's power had wrought in him mighty signs and wonders, so that from Jerusalem round about unto Illyricum, which is the eastern shore of the Adriatic Sea, he had fully preached the gospel of Christ, an enormous feat for just one person to accomplish. Illyricum was what the old nation of Yugoslavia was. I think that's Croatia today and Serbia and whatnot. So that's a long ways away from where he grew up in Tarsus and so forth. So Paul had accordingly sought to evangelize unreached areas of the Gentile world in full confidence that God would make his ministry effective and fulfill God's calling to reach the Gentiles. Confident in God's power and his apostolic ministry and armed with the Isaiah 52:15 concept that God wanted to reveal himself to people who had not been told that they might see the truth and that they also who had not heard in him might hear and understand, that's Romans 15:21, Paul sought to evangelize in realms where no one else had ever evangelized. Can you imagine this, a person given to the ministry, going to places where the gospel had never been preached? He didn't know what kind of response was going to be there. He didn't know how people would read him or anything, but he boldly went. And everywhere he went, there were some people who came to Christ. Accordingly, Paul ministered with unusual boldness. And this is where the application comes to us. He ministered with unusual boldness to the Christian readers of his epistle to the Romans. Paul did several things in this passage that were unusually bold, even in his era of dramatic boldness. He acknowledged that his readers were mature, fully capable in admonishing one another. Can you pick that up in verse 14? I myself am persuaded of you, brethren, that you are all full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. The Apostle Paul had heard about these Roman Christians, and he knew that they were strong, relatively a mature church. Now, normally, if you're writing to mature Christians, you're not going to be too, what they say is, didactic. You're not going to be too preachy at them, right? You're going to be and talk to them as though they're equals. Well, to such mature people, a writer would tend not to be highly instructional or didactic, as that might seem too dictatorial. Also, Paul had never met his readers, so it could seem insensitive for him to be instructional with them, lest they be defensively resisting his authoritative approach that lacked his past rapport with them. So if you don't have any rapport with people and they're all new to you, the tendency is not to be too preachy at them either, verse 23. Nevertheless, writing to mature readers he had never met, Paul had written with great boldness on some points to remind them of the truth of those points. Unconcerned over their possibly human negative reaction to his writing with boldness. That's why in verse 15 it says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written with more boldly unto you in regards to some things, putting you in mind because of the grace of God that was to give me in God." So Paul recognized that the divine authority of his ministry had led him to be so bold and unconcerned about a possible negative response to his boldness from readers in faith that God would make his words effective. I read a promo to a book one time that the Apostle Paul was an apostle who had a concept of God who was very big and very powerful. And that very big and very powerful God had called him into the ministry. And if this God was very big and very powerful, he didn't have to be intimidated by anybody. So he preached. And the gospel eventually, even when he was in Philippi, he was writing that the gospel that he'd preached eventually had actually reached the household of Caesar. And some of the people in Caesar's household had actually come to faith in Christ. So the lesson is realizing that he was under God's authority to minister to Gentiles and recalling that God had equipped him by gifting and calling to evangelize a huge area of the Roman Empire by many demonstrations of supernatural power, and noting he could thus be confident that God would make his work a success. Paul was bold in writing to believers he knew were mature, whom he had also never met, confident that God would make his effort effective. He didn't have to worry about trying to sell himself. He was there simply as a servant of God. He wrote this information down on paper or on the papyrus or whatever it was and sent it off to them, trusting that God would make his message effective with these people. So the application is, may we realize that when God saves and gifts us for ministry, that ministry is supernatural, that we can thus have great boldness knowing God will make us a success or make us successful in ministry. And of course, the secret here is to making sure that we're operating in the area of our spiritual gift. This is why it's very good to get feedback from other Christians as to how they're blessed by your ministry. It's very good to recognize what type of ministry do we really enjoy, because often the Lord gives a real sense of satisfaction if you're in the area of your right ministry. So you have to make sure you're using your gift. But if you know what your gift is and you use that gift, you will succeed if you're relying on the Lord. Like Paul, number two, we should be able to look over the past history of God's use of us and see evidence of his powerful work in us as the basis of serving the Lord in boldness today. And three, like Paul, we should also be able to discern from God's past precedents in our ministries what he plans to do with us now and in the future. We had a couple of events occur today that were very interesting. After the service today, I was in fellowship hall. I was talking with a believer, a committed believer in Jesus Christ. And this believer shared with me, it was a man, he shared with me how he appreciated what we have on the website, because he's been able to take that and to do research with it, and it helped his studies. And I was grateful to him, and I expressed my gratefulness that the Lord was using that. Well, then I remembered this same believer was in our adult Sunday school class this morning, and he asked a question. And the question that he asked, of course, elicited a response from me, and I was in the process of answering his question. And I got to recalling later on the answer that I was giving him, because I was able to answer to him, since it was something that had involved his life and I could be more objective about it. But the answer that I was giving him was an answer that I needed for a concern that I had in my life, and I couldn't see clearly enough because I'm so subjective when it comes to issues in my own life that I couldn't even see clearly. The Lord was using the answer that I had given to this believer for something in my life. Now you look at the divine power that is involved in this. God worked through this other believer to clarify something and this believer still doesn't know what the issue was in my own life. But he had a question and he asked it today, then he expressed his appreciation for the teaching that is on the website that directed my mind towards my own teaching. And then it reminded me of what I was teaching this believer in the Sunday school class, which also reminded me that is the answer that I need for my own issue in my own life. The Lord's using me, yes, but he was using this believer to point something out. And I'm just amazed at that. I was talking with another believer this morning in the back of the sanctuary as I had gone back after the morning service. And this believer started talking about a specific subject. Later on, I recognized that subject is actually the crux of next week's sermon that I'm supposed to be doing. And that this believer I know hasn't given that a thought. But often the Lord will allow me to get into a discussion with people on the Sunday before the message that we're supposed to preach the next week. Now the Lord's working through that believer, and that believer had no idea. So the power of God that is at work in the body is enormous. And if he's given us spiritual gifts and he wants to use those gifts in us, and if we are operating in the area of that gift, we will succeed. And if we will succeed, we can minister with boldness. We don't have to be intimidated. We don't have to be afraid. We need to relax and go at it, recognizing that the Lord will make us succeed. Sure, we're imperfect. Sure, we have human frailty and weaknesses and so forth, but the gifts that God has given us are supernatural. They are supernatural. They are given to us by the Holy Spirit, and God wants us to go ahead and use them, and he wants us to use them because we need his power in order to be a success. So may God help us to have the boldness that Paul did by having the mindset of Paul, recognizing that our God, who's given us these gifts, is big, he's powerful, and he can use us, he can actually make us succeed. That's a blessing.